Welcome to Tactical Permaculture. I've worked on projects ranging from the poorest to richest clients, from inner cities to suburbs to farmlands to remote wilderness, from the eco-war front lines to celebrity backyards. In over 25 years of service to the earth and the community of life, I've learned that in the fight for sustainable survival, growing is half the battle. Please go to tacticalpermaculture.com to read my blog, watch my videos, view my photos, access web applications, and click on the join membership link to access exclusive features. April 10th, 2024, episode 127. I'm announcing the relaunch of a document package I put together back in 2011, 2012 era. It is what I called the Family Preparedness Workbook, and there are many others like it. This one is mine, and it's just a collection of simple printable worksheets that I think every family that doesn't have their own or a better third-party solution, it would behoove all families, all units, whatever that grouping may be, teams and other types of organizational units, along with families, to have this kind of intelligence in a document format, because this is all about being backwards compatible with stuff hitting the fan and not having access to electricity or devices that are being able to be charged, or under any circumstance, having a digital copy. This gives you the ability. It's a list of, or it's a PDF with a number of pages that actually operate as web forms, in the sense that you can use them offline, on an offline computer, once you download the file, so you can type in your information into these form, into the form fields, and then print out physical copies to give to each person, and then keep them rotated, updated, keep some binders, keep them in all your emergency vehicles, emergency backpacks, and whatnot. And this, based on my, I would call it, at the point that I created this, I was several years into being very dedicated into the survival movement. And so this was basically a very no frills, not a lot of flashy graphics or anything. It's just the very simple procedural list of documents that you print out, you fill them out, or you can fill them out by hand, but I would recommend that you actually, if you want extra security and privacy, not from my website, because you will have already downloaded the PDF, I encourage you to download the PDF, open it in an offline computer, in a PDF application that allows you to fill in the forms, rather than filling it out in your browser, because I don't know what plugins you have, I don't know who goes to your browser, I don't know what kind of settings are set for remembering form field data and whatnot. So yes, you can open a PDF in a browser, yes, you can browse the document, and yes, you could enter data into it in your browser. I'm not going to see it, it's not going to send a copy back to me, so that concern is eliminated by design. But what I can't control is what's going on in your browser when you're connected to the internet. So I would recommend that you download this document. You do not fill it out in a browser, or at least not in a browser that's connected to the internet. And then therefore you keep, this is important, private information that you would put in these documents to print out. Hopefully that printer and that computer would be offline and secure, even if just for the period of time that you do that operation. However, it's worth noting that if you can afford to have a computer or an operating system that operates and never touches the internet, then you have far more assurance that whatever you type in with that keyboard, whatever you save, etc., and print out, that there's no, you don't want that connected to Wi-Fi, you don't want it ever touching the internet, if you want extreme privacy. So that's just a public service announcement. Most people are probably, with most things, just going to commingle all their private information, all of their passwords and secrets, with their public browsing daily driver web browser. And it's just recommended to segregate, for security and privacy, segregate different tasks. So that's a PSA. Now I'm going to go over the actual contents of this Family Preparedness Workbook. which I did this so many years ago. I hope no one else trademarked that title, but hopefully we can all be team players and all get along anyway. But so the contents, I will read the contents. We have first the pages 2 and 3, we have the instructions, and then we have 72-hour backpack emergency kit inventory worksheet and emergency contacts worksheet, emergency services worksheet, evacuation location plan. These are all worksheets, so I'll just skip that part. Evacuation packing checklist, evacuation procedure checklist, family caloric needs worksheet. Okay, I did put that there. Family medical worksheet, family storable food preferences, home emergency kit inventory, neighborhood networking, prepping goals checklist, threat assessment, vehicle preps inventory, water sourcing, purification, and storage. So yes, these are either checklists or worksheets. Call them whatever you will. I'm going to call them basically the way they're going to work when you use this document is they're going to operate like a form that you type the content into. Again, if you want to print it out and write it by hand, please do so legibly, because in an emergency, you don't want it to be difficult to decipher amongst your unit. So I'm going to go ahead and read the instructions, because that gives you a sense. Obviously, they're included with each one of these packages, but I'm going to read them for there to be a reference verbally online, and for this to kind of be a reference point that's on the show. So here we go with the 72-hour backpack emergency kit inventory. Use this worksheet to build and maintain your 72-hour backpack emergency kit. Basic recommended items include a first aid kit, dry food, canned food, water, water purification, filtration devices, mess kit, utensils, cup, plate, bowl, cooking pot, warm clothes, tarp, multiple means to make fire, headlamp, maps, evacuation, emergency contacts, documentation, i.e. this documentation package, bug spray, sunblock, cordage, reading material, toiletries, hand crank radio, etc. So if you want to go and reference that more, usually it's called a go bag or a bug out bag. And there's a whole culture, subculture around building your own bug out bag. Some companies sell them pre-made. I recommend building your own to have the experience and to be very much knowledgeable about what goes into it, and to play with and practice and do exercises with your 72-hour emergency kit backpack. So that was a little bit of commentary. Moving right along, emergency contacts. You want to use the type fields to distinguish between family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, etc., and the notes field to specify if you've arranged to stay with them in an emergency. If there are any limitations or considerations such as medical needs, conditions, etc., be sure to designate a primary and secondary out-of-state contact that can serve as a relay point so that members of your family can check in with status updates and check the status of other members. These contacts should be aware of their role and be agreeable to serving in this capacity. You may want to offer to act as one of their out-of-state contacts as well. So that's a bit of strategy to go along with just listing emergency contacts and using the notes field to kind of make extra comments and connections and whatnot. So emergency services is the next one. Look in your phone book or search online to fill in the fields on this worksheet and add whatever common or custom services apply to your specific personal, family, or regional needs. Post a copy of this on the refrigerator and or near phones for easy access, as well as in all emergency kits. So this would be the quick reference sort of speed dial Rolodex. Again, it shows that it was written before smartphones took off and you had a lot of note apps that you could use. So whatever, however you apply this, I still would say have an offline, even if you don't have a landline, you're still in a state of emergency, calling a service provider to remove fallen objects from a storm. It's first come, first serve for those kind of services, even in the private sector, beyond actual EMS, government funded emergency first responders and second responders and however else you want to put it. But that emergency services list is a valuable thing to have, and it would very much be based on. I put in some standard fields, but you could add, there's room to add whatever else would be applicable to your area. So that's a little bit of extra commentary for me. The next one is evacuation location plan. And that is, the description of that is, instructions is, you can use this worksheet to identify meeting places directly outside your home, such as a local park, the front yard, a neighbor's house, etc., in the case of a fire or other emergency that affects only your home. Be sure to evaluate the meeting area and make sure it is clear of potential hazards such as fallen trees, power lines, etc. For the in-the-city meeting and shelter areas, you'll want to identify places where you can meet up with your family members or evacuation partners in scenarios where your home or a section of the city are not safe to stay in. These meeting places can either be temporary rally points, such as a park, or they can be a friend's or relative's houses or other buildings or establishments where you may plan to stay, where you may plan to stay in temporarily. For the out-of-city meeting and sheltering areas, identify places where you can stay for short and long-term duration in the evacuation scenarios where your whole city or region has been affected. For both the in-city and out-of-city meeting sheltering areas, be sure to print 3 sets of directions for each location with the main route and 2 alternate routes to ensure synchronization of routes in the event that roads are blocked. You may want to go further and print directions not only from home, but also from workplaces, schools, etc. So yeah, that's more of an advanced practice. I don't expect that everyone will go that far to do that, but depending on where you live and the kind of threats that you face, if it's possible that there could be back roads, as we used to say, off the highways, if it's congested or if it's blocked, where you would know without GPS and without, yeah, this is basically being able to rely on the use of map books, of atlases, and of your own pre-printed directions, where if one route is blocked and you don't have some algorithmic tool that's online and connected to give you real-time rerouting, then you've got to do that yourself. So that's going to be a serious anachronism for a lot of people these days. Definitely worth doing. I would do it. I've done it. I've got my own circumstances now, but I would say it's definitely worth doing. And so please think about that as more than an anachronism. Okay, evacuation packing checklist. By doing evacuation drills, you'll be able to determine exactly how much you'll be able to pack with you in an emergency evacuation. You'll also know how to prioritize the gathering and packing of your possessions based on how much time and how much space you have. Furthermore, you can practice variable drills that anticipate different types of threats, such as fire versus flooding, where different parts of the house may be damaged in different ways. After you've done the first drill, you'll be able to fill out this worksheet, and each subsequent drill can be based on both the evacuation procedure checklist and this checklist. Okay, so basically getting in the habit of doing the drills and then reiterating, so you can just update this and do versioning of your own on this workbook, so that you continue to print out new copies and update it. That's why, yeah, it would be good if you save the document with your edits to it. You should be able to open it again as a PDF and then go in and edit those form fields. So moving right along, evacuation procedure checklist. Use this worksheet to create a list of prioritized procedural steps in your evacuation. During your first evacuation drill, you'll want to take notes and use them to create this checklist for subsequent drills and for real emergencies. Use the checkbox to check each action off as it's completed. By using the numbering box, you can split the list between multiple people and delegate a range of numbers to each person. Okay, that's an interesting dimension. I did build an online version of this, a sort of advanced version recently, where that was an important aspect of being able to number the items so that you could cross. If you had multiple people packing at once, you would have to have them scanning for what you just mumbled out or yelled out is go get the this, this, and that. Just say, go get numbers 5 through 10 and I'll get numbers 1 through 4 or whatever. So that numbering system would be helpful to use. Family caloric needs worksheet. This might be controversial, so adjust it as needed, as however you see fit. Using this worksheet to determine the rough amount of daily calories needed by your family, with this number, you can determine the approximate number of days your current non-perishable food supply would suffice for your family's needs. You can set goals to incrementally build up your supply to cover you for weeks, months, or even years. Just keep a running count of the calories you add to your short and long-term food storage areas and containers. So that's pretty straightforward. how much food is in the pantry, how long is it going to last, distribute that across pets and everyone in the family or the unit, and then you have a number of days forward, and that can be a starting point that you continue to build to over time. Okay, family medical worksheet. Use this sheet to document any family medications, conditions, and needs that emergency personnel would need to know about to safely treat illnesses and injuries in disaster situations. You can also use it to make sure you've got backup medications and medical gear and equipment such as reading glasses, wheelchairs, and other mobility and home health care products. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. Again, something you want to keep private, so the way that you fill that out, either by hand or using a keyboard of some kind, take precaution to make sure that you're not leaving that file or having that browser session be insecure. Okay, family storable food preferences. This is very important and often overlooked. Okay, this worksheet will help you and your family identify which foods you like that are suitable for long-term storage. In emergency situations, when people panic, they often raid the shelves of supermarkets without forethought as to what they'd actually want to eat. By slowly and sensibly adding to your food reserves, you'll be able to focus on getting a nutritionally balanced array of foods that you know you'll want to eat. After filling out this worksheet, be sure that whenever you or anyone else goes shopping, they have this list and are looking out for deals and sales. Okay, so that's a habit to get into, where you add to your food preps and you know what everyone likes, and you don't just buy food that you would never eat and you would never want to eat. Least of all in an emergency where comfort food makes a big difference in your morale. Okay, that's my extra notes there. Okay, home emergency kit items inventory. You can either assemble a home emergency kit yourself piece by piece or buy a pre-made kit. It's always better to build your own kit because you'll become more familiar with the exact contents and you'll save money. However, building your kit requires that you take the time to learn exactly what should be included. For basic recommended kit items, go to redcross.org. You should use this worksheet both to build the kit and to do regular inventory checks if you use and cycle through its contents. Okay, that's self-explanatory. Neighborhood networking. This worksheet will help you build community and create co-reliance and interdependence between you and your neighbors. By actively working to build trust and knowledge/resource sharing in your neighborhood, not only will you be better prepared for any emergency situation, you'll feel safer and more connected and potentially save money by lending and rotating items rather than each household purchasing the same item. So this, you can never have enough of this type of fabric of village-based society, and hopefully people can cooperate with each other. This is a little bit of side narration because it really is a tragedy that we don't share more. That's my opinion. Okay, prepping goals checklist. Emergency disaster preparedness is a lifelong process of acquiring skills, knowledge, equipment, and other resources. It's never enough to just buy a kit and put it in the closet. By maintaining and acting on a list of goals, you can hold yourself accountable to keep growing and progressing. A few goals may include setting up disaster emergency text message alerts to your cell phone. From your local emergency service providers, setting up a text message group list, including your family and close friends, to quickly notify them in emergency situations, schedule various drills, etc. That's pretty self-explanatory. And there are apps for a lot of these things now, too, as well, to think about. But then be careful, again, who you're sharing that information with. I'm not a big fan of third-party apps that I don't know the provenance of the code, etc. Talk at length about that. So, yeah, do it yourself if you can, would be my point there. Threat assessment. Use this worksheet to develop a heightened awareness of the specific threats you face in your area and in your life. The primary threat field should include natural and human-made disasters, as well as political and military threats. The scale field should be used to help you have a sense of the geographic range of a given threat. Ranges may include personal, family, home, block, neighborhood, district, city, county, state, region, nation, continent, etc. By considering the scale of impact, you'll have a better sense of how fast aid may arrive and from where to position your evacuation location, even have a better sense of where to move if you're planning a local move. For example, above the tsunami inundation zone or away from wildfire zones. Filling out the probability field will help you organize your list of threats from most probable to least probable. There's no exact science to this, but a 1 to 10 ranking system will do. Using your best judgment, try to rank each threat you've listed. The duration field will help you develop a sense of how long the actual event will last and allow you to better prepare mentally and physically. The secondary threats field should include as many of the after effects of the initial event that you can think of. Often the panicked human reaction after the actual event is more dangerous than the event itself. By considering the secondary threats, you'll realize that just being prepared for the event itself, but not the secondary threats, can leave you vulnerable. For example, social unrest, looting, and rioting caused by any type of infrastructure breakdown and ensuing interruption of systems of support, such as the food supply, electrical grid, water supply, etc. Okay, vehicle preps inventory. Use this worksheet the same way as the home emergency kit items inventory. However, you'll want to add specific vehicle-specific items such as extra fuel, spare parts, maps, flares, extra water, etc. Okay, that's pretty self-explanatory. Water, this is the last one, water sourcing, purification, and storage worksheet. Use this worksheet to identify a list of local water sources such as rivers, streams, springs, reservoirs, water heaters, pools, etc. Identify the purification methods you have available such as boiling, filtration, chemical purification, etc. Identify the storage containers you have or may need to procure such as rain catchment barrels, 5-gallon jugs, bathtubs, etc. You can then use the formula provided at the bottom of the sheet to determine how many days of water self-reliance you have with the water storage reserves you have on site. Okay, that is it. That was a quick overview. That was all of the written out sections. It holds up even now, even many years later after I first put this together, holds up pretty well. And whatever advances in technology that could be applied to this, still the root concepts and principles apply. And I really think that really the spirit of this is that you have hard copies printed, typed out, printed, and in physical locations that you can access, because a lot of people are left in situations where everything that they, even if they are trying to be diligent about maintaining good ability to access important information, such as everything or some of the things listed here, their phone dies and that's that. Their charger, the wire breaks, or they don't have a solar backup situation going on, or they don't have an inverter to charge, whatever. Yeah, they charge it too long and their battery in their car dies and now they're stranded. I mean, these are all things that preppers kind of think through and try to plan for and have redundant backup options for, but nothing beats having this information printed out. And then a consideration may be that if you had private information that you didn't want to ever get stolen, if it was stored in a vehicle somehow, then you could consider other options. And I've built options for this that you can also use online to do what's called number off encryption. So if you had any numbers that were private numbers that you didn't want to ever get stolen, you could use letter off or number off encryption, which is a simple way to do it yourself. If you don't have any tools, you can do it on a piece of paper, and you can basically scramble numbers and scramble words and unscramble them or descramble them back to their original state using your own little cipher. For example, let's do a letter off encryption and use adding one to every letter. So every time there's an A in your document, you change that to a B, and you know that to decode it, you change B's back to A's, and so on down the line. So that's a bit of a side note to think about if you ever were thinking, well, but my phone, it's got biometrics, it's encrypted, I can put all my private documents on it, and then even if it gets stolen, as long as it's off or it's not open, it's locked, then no one will get access to this type of information. There's a reason to have it printed out. The reason is to be reliant on offline, non-electronic devices. But if you want to have that extra layer of obfuscation of your private materials. If you haven't printed out, you can always do things like take sensitive stuff and encrypt it by hand in a very simple manner, where someone would have to be, you'd have to be wanted by the intelligence community for the average car thief or car rummaging through your stuff, breaking into your car criminal. They're probably not going to spend that much time. You're not low-hanging fruit. They're going to go on to the next person's lower-hanging fruit. So those are the extra considerations. Again, took me a while to get this going. I thought about kind of making it more high-tech and more graphics and whatnot, but I think it's fine as it is. I know I used to sell these just printed out for whatever pretty much cost and maybe a few cents, but I really do feel like it's daunting to get into all this prepping stuff. There's no nonsense in here in terms of it's not based on zombie apocalypse. It's not based on end of the world. It's very practical. It's prudent material that you would get from government agencies advising people to be prepared for earthquakes and floods and fires and whatnot. So I think it's, to me, I would consider this entry level 101. And yeah, whenever I can implement this and help other people implement it, I like to do so, because I know people, I don't want to say they're lazy. People say they don't have time for things, but then they make time for frivolous things. So I don't buy that. And, you know, I'm not 100% on all this myself. The mechanic who doesn't change his own oil to a degree on some things, but really it's a sense that I've taken this intelligence and I've adapted it to my own circumstances. And if you were to call me out on it, I would say, yeah, there's a few things here that I've let slide because I've kind of gotten into such a routine where I take it for granted that I know how to do this stuff. But that's a bad habit too. So I'll put you in check and say, go through this whole thing and do this whole thing, and then you can tell me from a point of moral superiority. You can call me out and then ask me if I've done everything, and I'll go through and I'll go, oh, you know what, I gotta redo that or update that, whatnot. But I'm a lone wolf, so I have far fewer considerations about dependence. I don't have any pets. I don't even have livestock at the moment, so I'm pretty much free from a lot of the responsibility in this. But most families that have pets and have dependents, that's kind of what it's all about. And you have jobs and you go to school, you're out and about, you're scattered throughout a city or a county or wherever you may be, then this is the kind of stuff that will save your life, and this will get you through hard times and emergencies without you having to panic and lose your mind like everybody else who doesn't do anything like this. And it doesn't make you a doomsday prepper, doesn't make you a wingnut. It makes you, I think, a mature adult citizen. And hopefully you can make a lot of fun out of this with your family. Do things like blackout drills where you shut the lights off for overnight and then you do a s'mores in the backyard with a camp out. Those are the kind of things where you can make this fun, you can gamify it, you could make it part of getting allowance. In order to get your allowance, we have to check off one of these sheets at least once a month or whatever. I think you could make it a family tradition. You could do it with a church group. You could do it at work, even if it's piecemeal. But it's broken up into discrete sheets. And then if you follow the instructions, it's pretty straightforward anyway. But you could do this and say, let's do one sheet a week or something like that. I recommend doing it. If you have any questions, if you want to consult with me in any way on this stuff, this is a passion of mine. I would love to help. So with that said, cheers.